In you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light we shall see light.
Thank you for your direction. Thank you for order. Thank you for your peace at work in our lives. Thank you for showing us the way to go and for ordering our steps. Your name be glorified, Lord. Your name be magnified. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited to see you. Glory. All right. Give the person by you a high five and tell the person, I'm excited to see you. You are a great blessing. Glory to God. All right. Please take your seats. I want to quickly talk to you about some key elements of divine direction. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand that God is interested in your destiny than you are. Because he made you. Every creator is interested in what his creation will become than the interest of the creation. The creation cannot have more interest in itself than the creator, because the creator made you. For his own purpose. I assure you are here. The Creator made you for his own purpose. So God is more interested in your purpose, the fulfillment of your purpose, your destiny that you think you are. That is why not walking the obedience of what God says about you is costly. See, it's costly. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right? He said, I know the plans I have for you. He said, they are good to bring you to an expected end. Who invented, who determined, who created that end? God! So God knows the end, and it is his expectation. What you are going to become, listen to me, is the expectation of God. Do you see it? The impact you're going to make is the expectation of God for your life. So there is an expected end. You see, there is an expected end. Inasmuch as God is also going to show you how you're going to hit that end, become what he wants you to become, you know, God shows you what you are going to become. Most of the times, he may not present to you the details of how it's going to happen. All he wants from you is the obedience of him. So there are two major elements. You knowing exactly what God wants you to become by his speaking, and you becoming obedient through the process. The reason it has to be by obedience is that when even God gives you the detailed layout as to what you're going to do per step to get to the place he wants you to get to, you must know that you are not the only one in this world. There are opposing elements that fight the believer. There are contradictory opinions that will come your way. So then, what sustains you? What helps you to stay on course? Your obedience to what God says. Your obedience to what God says is what sets you on course. Because there will be mountainous moments. There will be moments which are not designed by God for you. I'm telling you. In our pursuit for purpose, though the scripture says, all things work together for our good, there are moments, there are things that happen around us that wasn't part of the plan of God for your life. Do you get what I'm saying? There are things God has not designed for your life. God has not purposed those things for your life. He has not planned them for you. There are times yourself, by your wrong choices, wrong mistakes, you find yourself in certain situations which were not designed by God. There are times factors which didn't concern you. Family factors, all right? Political factors, governmental factors, and all that. Things that weren't by your own effort. Things that you couldn't control. Stepped in. You see, when God was framing our lives, He framed all of us, our lives together. Structured His systems in a way. Maybe during CDLS, we'll get to understand more when we are looking at the ordinance of God. You see, He set all things in a particular way, in a certain order. He said, for God has made all things upright, but men have sought out many devices. So, man seeking out many devices sometimes creates, not sometimes, most of the times, creates disorderliness in God's order. So, God, knowing that, brings in another mechanism that will help you through the process. That is Himself working and walking with you through the process, through the challenges, through the storm. When God destined, it's not like God doesn't know that evil will happen. It's not like God doesn't have what it takes to anticipate. In fact, you as a man, you have what it takes to anticipate evil, even before evil happens. It's a code, it's a reality within your heart. If only you will pay attention to it. But now you must understand something. God may anticipate. God looks at the general overview of things and how things are going to turn out, whether good or evil. But trusts that you will go the way He has destined for you, because He believes that you obey His voice. And amazed that even when you don't obey His voice, He still has a plan for you. That is why the greatest thing He gives to you is His presence, Himself. God Himself with you. You see, so as God is with you through the process, what do? You keep hearing Him. You keep hearing Him. Not your feelings, not your emotions, not your failures, not your defeats, not your disappointments, not your discouragement. Hear Him. Hear Him. And as you keep hearing Him, you realize that your defeated moments will be shaped again. So you must know exactly what God wants you to be. And you must know God and hear His voice. Know God and obey His voice. That's all. The reason the obedience is important is that God's speaking and God's instruction and God's plans and purposes for your life are not forceful. God doesn't force them on you. That's why I said, it's not about God using you. It's about you becoming usable. It's not about God using you. It's about you becoming usable. If these basic items I'm mentioning to you are not given necessary attention, you will live 50 years of your life, look back, and it will seem like nothing extraordinary has happened with you. Did you hear what I'm saying? In the coming years, God wants to set you up in the high places. I thought you were here. God wants to set you up in the high places. God wants to set you up in the high places. And so what God has called you for becomes your absolute pursuit and is able to gain the attention of your mind, of your heart, and your will. You'll not be able to sit at the table of kings when the time comes. That's not God's design for you. So you're going to become intentional about the pursuit of divine purpose for your life. Knowing that God's purpose for your life is so important. Lift your right hand and speak in tongues. Barakato sotaba. You know, someone says, if God has plans for my life, why must I plan my life? Your plan for your life is, this is it. If you go into an organization, the organization has a plan. You see, what you must know is that there's a strategic plan and there's the operational plan. You see, what must God has a strategic plan. And within that strategic plan, you fall into it. But your plan, the one you see to do, is your operational plan. It is the execution of what God has planned for you. But God doesn't leave you alone in the execution of his plans for your life. The execution of God's plan for your life is what you call your plan. But your plan must be consistent with his. And how would that be? Listen, most people joke with Romans 12, verse 2. You see, those of you in my telephone knows that I've quoted that scripture almost every meeting I quote it. He said, do not be conformed to the cultures and ideologies of this world, but be transformed, be metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. Now, look at that scripture. Let's go there. You see, the reason you need a renewal of mind. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Are you there? Only one person. Are you there? All right. Verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That, listen, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the goal of the renewal of your mind is so that you may prove. Look at the TPT. Let me read from the TPT to you. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. A total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So you are able to discern. When I was talking about hearing God's voice, I spoke something about the shape thoughts. You see, the shaping of your thinking is part of hearing God's voice. Then when we after that one, when I came treating imagination and the voice of God, I addressed that one again. You see, that your imagination can become the wheel by which God's thought travels. But how would that happen? I went on to explain to you that this, the renewal of your mind influences your imagination. He said, when you have the reformation of how you think, it makes you discern the will of God. So, as you seek to plan your life, you realize that your plans are consistent with God's plans. They don't move you away from the plan which God has set in place for you. So you get to know God's definite, accurate, major purpose for your life. Then now, as you know, you realize that God gives you by your, the shaping of your thoughts, you are able to reason out ideas which conforms to the plans of God for your life. In the process, every phase, as you begin to obey the Lord, see, you know, not obeying God's voice comes with unnecessary luggage. In your pursuit of purpose, you have to make it your priority to obey the voice of God. There was famine, and Abraham harmlessly moved out of Canaan to a land God had not asked him to go. Yes, he was giving gifts. But you know the thing? As part of the gifts were servants. It was one of the servants who gave birth to Ishmael. Do you see it? One of the servants gave birth to Ishmael. These Ishmaelites are the, you see, Ishmael is the father of the Arabs till today. They are not giving Israel peace. Are you sure you are here? As part of my, the Lord, one of the foundational songs to my calling is this song. Not one, this song specifically. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust Him. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Obeying God's voice. See, so I've mentioned a lot of elements even now. If you're making a note, you would have a lot of elements I've mentioned. See, so if you are talking about divine direction, ultimately, the key ultimate element you are looking at in terms of your divine direction is the definite, accurate, major purpose of God for your life. That's the key element. That's the only one I'll give. The rest that I've mentioned, I'll not give. Those of you that didn't write, you come and see me in my chambers. You bring some $2,000, then I continue the ones you did. Hallelujah. I fulfill the purpose of God for my life. Right. So, know God's definite, accurate, major purpose for your life. See, be determined to obey the Lord. And also be conscious, it's in terms of divine direction, be conscious that the Lord is with you. In your journey of life, have the consciousness that the Lord is with you. And as you have the consciousness, you become intentional that you will obey the instructions and the word of the Lord to you. Hallelujah. And as you are conscious that the Lord is with you, you must know that God has a greater interest in the fulfillment of your purpose than you do. You see, that's what helps you to obey. What will help you to obey is knowing that the Lord is more interested in your life and destiny than you are. And that's a challenge. We mostly don't think that God is interested in we doing well. You know, we think God is some superior power sitting somewhere manipulating everything and manipulating us against our will. If it's against your will, there will not be the need for your choice to obey. Obedience is your choice. You know, you have the choice to disobey. You have the choice to disobey. And always know the difference between your plans and God's plans for your life. Your God's plan is a strategic, is the ultimate plan. Your plan is the operational, is how you execute God's plans for your life. Did you understand? Listen, there are things God will not do for you. You have to do it yourself. God will not pray for you. Yes, He intercedes for us. See, as He has done in Christ Jesus. But God will not pray for you. God will not study His word for you. God, these are simple things, all right? God will not be humble for you. Hey. God will not fight addiction for you. God will not obey His word for you. He has accomplished the obedience that brings you to eternal salvation. But when it comes to the works of faith, the just shall live by His faith. It's called a subjective faith. So God wouldn't exercise faith for you. God will give you ability to pray in the spirit, but God will not pray in the spirit for you. God will inspire you with ideas. But the steps to bring those ideas to pass, God will not take those steps for you. So in the pursuit of purpose, there is a responsibility. You must know you have a responsibility. You have a role to play. And that's the difference. That's what differentiates those who fulfill their purpose and those who continue to shadow box. It's not so much that God appoints, God has interest in one person than the other. I said you must make yourself usable. No, listen. Jesus brought, He told them He's the resurrection and the life. When He goes to the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus didn't stand and say, "Stone, roll away." Did Jesus do that? He got there and He said, "Stone, roll away. Lazarus, come out. Loin cloths, removed. That wasn't Jesus. That's not what Jesus did. He's orderly. God is orderly. He got there. He said, "Roll away the stone." Why? They can do it. He will not do, see, God will not do what you can do. So our prayer to God is not for God to come in to do what we can do. Comes in to partner with us to do the impossible. So if you're waiting for God to come and do something great for you, oh, my life will be great. 2024 is ending, but don't worry, 25 is coming, God is going to do something for me. We have passed that phase. that Jesus knew they couldn't do was to bring Lazarus back to life. So Jesus took that responsibility and said, Lazarus, come out. Now listen, when Lazarus came, you see, I even told you, the word of God pulled Lazarus out of the grave. He came out. When he came, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to take off the loincloth for him. No. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. It wasn't his responsibility. In feeding the 5,000, Jesus did not command bread from the air. So find out if anyone has bread. They found the bread of a little boy. There's a seed in your hand. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus distribute it? No. He broke and thanked the Lord and entrusted the responsibility to the disciples. Distribute. Now, they have to sit orderly. Jesus did not sit for them. After Peter had taught all night, Jesus didn't see all the fishes in the sea, enter his nets now. He said, Peter, oh, don't worry, I've finished using your boat. Wait for me, wait for me. All the fishes of the sea, aqua Jesus. No. They didn't call the fish, and the fish jumped from everywhere. And they, I mean, whilst Peter was standing, you know, the fish would jump into his boat. That's a picture you have. No! They cast the net on the other side. They didn't know where they could catch fish. Jesus knew. So directed them where to operate. If Peter had not cast the net, he would have been dead the whole day and still not catch any fish. I cast my net. So the casting of the net is your responsibility. The gathering of the fish is not your responsibility. His word will bring it together. Yours is to obey and do. So our obedience is acting on his word, acting according to his purpose and his grace. I said, God will not be humble for you. The best God will do is to put people in your life to invest wisdom into you. All right. As part of the elements, one major element used, what you have to do in knowing the definite, accurate, major purpose for your life. Number one, for your life or what you have to do, the steps you have to take at every phase is inquiry. Inquiry. Learn to inquire of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, in today's Mahira, it was there. The Bible says when the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag, captured all the inhabitants of Ziklag, the wives and daughters of David and his mighty men. Which means that when Amalekite got to the camp of David, there were no men there. They had all left to join David to fight with the Philistines against Israel. Now, when David and his men were going to join the Philistines to fight, they remembered, is it not this David whose song was trending? No. If you get to the battlefield, this David may betray us. Let him go back. So David and his men went back. Upon return, the Amalekites had invaded his camp, taking away captives, their wives and their children, all right? And they wept. Bible says, David and his men wept till they had no strength to weep again. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, we all know David as one who is a man after God's heart. But most people don't know that David has one great weapon. One of David's greatest weapon is inquiry. All the life of David, he did nothing without inquiring of the Lord. The day he attempted to do something without inquiring of the Lord, that resulted in the division in his household. Listen, don't joke with inquiry. Because of time. It is David's number one battle strategy. If David never lost a war, it's not only about the loyal people he had. It's not only about his mighty men. It is also about knowing what God wants him to do. So, some of you, God will send you helpers, and you may not even recognize the helper because you don't even know the next step God is leading you to take. Now, some of you are at war with your helper, one God has sent to you. Inquiry. So, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Bible says, and David said of them, he said, they should bring him the ephod. Now, those times, the high priests had the ephod. So, I'm still investigating how David got access to the ephod. But, right, maybe it was in the priestly garments. On the priestly garment, they had the ephod. Upon the ephod are the names of the tribes of Israel and then the Jewish alphabet. Whenever God has to speak to them, there was a time God was speaking to them through the ephod. So when they inquire of the Lord, based on the promptings they get from the ephod, they know what the Lord is telling them to do. So the ephod became more of a token of God's means of communicating to them, mostly to the priesthood. But David had access to the ephod and requested for an ephod and interacted with the Lord. And he asked, now listen, under normal circumstance, you were a soldier with an army. Are you following? You're a soldier with an army. You've gone to war. You returned. And someone had come to loot your camp. By your natural instinct, what must you do? Talk to me. What must you do? Hey, those of you who are not talking. What must you do? You must go after them. No, the way you are looking at me, even your phone, your common phone, you're in a vehicle and you've seen someone coming to snatch your phone and you've seen that, this is the person going. And you can also get that way and jump and shout, oh, Jiro, hey! Are you not going to do that? So why are you quiet looking at me? What will you do? Go after them. Those of you who are not talking, what will you do? Now all of you, what will you do? Yes. You go after them. But David's reaction was different. By normal warfare, as long as someone had come to take him captive of what belongs to you, you must take action. But the action David had to take was rather to go to the Lord, to inquire of the Lord, should I pursue? The Lord said, pursue, overtake, recover all. At different times, the Lord will instruct David, give David a battle plan, what to do. When David gets to the battlefield, following what the Lord has to, he goes back again. Lord, what is the next step? And there were times the Lord would change the same. See, the Lord would change the battle plan. And that was what made me understood how God's plans works. You see, God will give him a plan, something to follow. Then David will be following. Maybe I'll take time to take you through all those things. Maybe some other, maybe Thursday or next week. As David was following, he would go again to talk to the Lord. The Lord says, no, I told you to move, turn right. But no, don't turn right again. Now turn left. Why? Because you must know that within this world, the forces at play is not one-sided. See, you don't know, they are sorcerers. They are evil spirits. They are people that all they do is they steal. See, let me tell you, when someone goes to a shrine to pray, whether a malam or whatever, to pray for a child, fetish priests and sorcerers don't produce children. What they do is to ensnare, is to capture a soul of one and transport that soul to the other. If you don't know, that is what they do. There are people who carry children in their womb, and people with wrong spirits can take a child from a womb and translate that child to their customers. All those that say they will pray to dwarf spirits and all that, they come to a shop and take someone's money. That's what they do. Take your money and give to the other. They cannot create anything. The thief cometh not, but to steal. That's what they do. This is why divine direction is important. See, because they are operations of darkness. And the goal of these operations were to intercept. Can I tell you something? Let me show you another way to have a picture of God's plan. God had a plan, prophesied from time of Adam. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Through the journey of the Israelites, even before that, in Abraham, through Abraham, through Jacob, through Isaac, there was a consistent prophetic utterance of Christ. Through the festivals, the sacrifices, the offerings of the Jews, there were prophecies concerning Christ and even concerning his death. The prophet Isaiah is one of the prophets that was specific and detailed about prophecies concerning Jesus, his place of birth, the family, the ministry, the impact, his death, the result of his death. Isaiah was detailed. Clear, detailed prophecy concerning Christ. Mary got the good news. You're going to bear a child, the savior of the world. God's plan and purpose intercepted the life of Mary. Now she's going to be the mother of the savior of the world. So what happens? There was no need for God's direction anymore. True or false? Because God himself has been transfused into the womb of a woman. She's going to give birth to God kind. That child is a prophetic child. There are prophecies over that child. There's no need for any direction anymore. Because he's God with us. That's his name. He said his name shall be Emmanuel, which is God with us. Huh? So it means there can be evil plotting, but there is God with us. Therefore, we don't fear. But that was not the case. The child was to be raised in the house of Jacob and Mary, Joseph and Mary. God has to come to the dream of Joseph. Now, even before that, the wise men, God went to announce the good news to them. Now, later we'll talk about why the angel must speak to those people. They came to pay homage. They thought he was born in a palace. So they went to the royal palace. It was a wrong destination. The moment they left, there was a plot against the baby. Now, are you getting how purpose works? So now, Joseph had a dream to move the child out of Bethlehem to take the child to Egypt. So God has a plan. Did it intercept or contradict God's plan? No. Jesus still fulfilled his purpose. But the process was in phases. And at each point, to sustain the fulfillment of that purpose, there must be the obedience, which means that if Joseph had disobeyed the instructions, the words of God, you know what would have happened? Jesus would have died before the cross. Your salvation wouldn't have come. So the obedience of Joseph was the sustaining of our eternal salvation. Listen to me. That little obedience of your life, of God in your life, affects generations. You don't know how the day God told you to pray, it was a salvation for many. But you chose your sleep than prayer. It means you are telling God, I am not usable. So Joseph's disobedience would have cost the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes. His obedience was an advantage, not just to himself and his wife, but to the whole kingdom of heaven, to the entire program of God. God's program was dependent on a young man called Joseph. Had to move the child to Egypt. See, and that also fulfilled the prophecy. Herod thought he was ready to destroy God's child. I'm telling you, your way out, every circumstance, every situation, is how you act on God's word. When you fail to act on God's word at any given time, you ensnare the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life. Holy, 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 Lord God mighty, you reign, you reign. Holy, 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 Lord God mighty, you reign, oh, you reign. Holy, 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 Lord God,
Lord God Almighty, you reign.
Lord, you reign.
You reign.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
Lord God Almighty,
you reign.
You reign.
You reign.
From the top. You remember?
In the eternity past, when time had not yet begun, Lord, you dwelt all alone, yet you lacked nothing. Oh, even then, you had us in mind as the focus of your love, as the focus of your love. Oh, the good pleasure of your will, your eternal plan, revealed in your Son. Holy, 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 holy,
Lord God,
Lord God Almighty,
you reign.
You reign.
Holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy,
Lord God,
Lord God Almighty, you reign.
Lord, you reign.
You reign.
Holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy,
Lord God.
You reign,
holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, you reign,
Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign.
You reign.
Listen. What is the code for long life? He said, you shall not die, but to live, to declare the works of the Lord. Listen to me. The purpose of living is not for eating and drinking. The way you are eager not to die, because you want to continue living and eating, drinking, and enjoying. No, listen. The day you start feeling satisfied that you are done doing so much for the Lord, whatever I have done, is the day you don't have a need, a reason to exist anymore. It's to fulfill the purpose of God. I show you. We live because of his purpose. Now look at Joseph, son of Jacob. All right, this other Joseph too is a son of Jacob. I don't know what has to do with Joseph and dreams. But this Joseph also had a dream. You can sit down for a moment. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
Shout, I fulfill purpose. Now, this Joseph also had a dream. A dream of his life. God showed him what was going to happen. An event that reflects his future. Recently, the Israeli soldiers discovered the tomb of Joseph in where they now call the West Bank. And they were kneeling around it and they were crying. And I said, oh, you are crying at the wrong tomb. You see, you have to be born again. That's what matters. All right. Now, that shows that the stories of the Bible are not fictions, but true. See? Because when the Israelites
were leaving Egypt, Joseph asked them to pick his bones. And you know that the moment the bones of Jesus were picked, the bones of Joseph were picked, their clouds came. It's a beautiful typology, but now let's look at Joseph's life. Joseph had a dream. The truth was that as part of the dream, follow me carefully, it was not that Joseph had to go to Potiphar's house. Neither does it mean that God didn't know. Let me help you understand. I've been trying to explain that, but let me use a scenario to help you understand. Have you ever watched Doctor Strange? Oh. Have you ever watched Avengers? Move your movies, car. I don't even know Thanos. All right, so you've watched. Those who have not watched, sorry. But those who have watched, maybe you would be able to relate. Now, you see, when you look at Doctor Strange, you will see that at a point when Iron Man had to die or something like that, he said, that is the only alternative. He said he has gone through all the timelines and checked the alternative that exists. Which means that from that perspective, Dr. Strange knew every possible outcome. And when he examined all the outcome, he knew that this outcome is the best. Now, that's like God, being all-knowing, is that he has the picture of all the possible outcomes. He knows all the choices you will make. But now, he is not making the choice for you. So God doesn't necessarily get involved in the choice. Neither does God instigate the evil to make a choice against you. But God knows all the possible choices, both the one from the evil and the good. But he doesn't interact with your choice so much because he has given you a will. And that makes you you. But what he does is that he looks ahead and looks at the possible choices you make and make provisions to sustain you in all those choices as you continue the obedience of his plan. Are you following? So all the choices you make, the mistakes you will make, God knows. But he's trusting that you will trust his word ahead of time and not make those mistakes. Even yet, if you make those mistakes, he has another sustaining plan for you. As long as you walk in his obedience. Because he at no time does he enforce his plan through your throat. He makes it your choice. You see. So listen, every believer can, that's what we can anticipate evil. There's one message preached by Pastor Chris. I love that message. A very long time I listened to anticipating evil. It's one of the messages that God used to shape my mind about this world. I recommend all of you to listen to that message, all right? Now, you can have a glimpse of all possible outcomes and determine the way to go. Are you following? So understand, God doesn't enforce his choice on you because he has given you a will. So in God's plan, he did not instigate the brothers of Joseph to sell him. If the brothers had not sold him, he would have still become prime minister. Are you following? Nevertheless, they selling him became a contribution. So let me tell you something. It's not about what the devil is doing. It's not about what others are plotting against you. It's only about how are you walking in the obedience of God. Because as you're walking in the obedience of God's word, even when they plot, it will work out for your good. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that walk according to his purpose. As long as you are the center of God's purpose, obeying his purpose, listen to me, some doors will close and it will work for your good. Joseph, don't walk away. Maintain. Like Joseph. Joseph, at no point did he walk away. He said to Potiphar's wife, I will not sin against God. So to Joseph, it was not about him. It's about obeying God every time. And that launched him to the throne. You see it? I love you, Jesus. So don't joke with the inquiry. At every point in time, inquire of the Lord. And that's why, starting from this Wednesday all through the 22nd, we are inquiring of the Lord. We are inquiring of the Lord. What is the way? Show us the way to go. Show us the way. Don't think about 2025. You just, God, show me the way. Do you understand? Say, my God, 2025, show me what to do. You are limiting yourself. 2025 is coming, Lord. Show me the way to go. Show me what to do. No, we are not doing that this time. You are, Lord, what's the definite, accurate, major purpose for my life? If you know it already, pursue clarity. Do you hear what I'm saying? Pursue clarity. Say, I inquire. All right, last two items. Now, so you inquire of the Lord. Now, he says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 3, verse 3. You see? So when you call him, he will show you. He will show you. So there are three crucial items God has given to you to aid you fly into your purpose. Number one, his word. The word of God does this work. The shaping of your mind to the conformity of his person. The word of God shapes your mind so that you will be conformed to the person of God. The shaping of your mind to the person of God. He said, that word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. So when your word is, the word of God beats your mind into the shape of God, you realize you envision things, articulate matters according to the purpose and the will of God. So you will see that you are young, you look young, but you think ahead of your generation. Why? The word has programmed your mind and shaped your thoughts. Shout hallelujah. Shall I submit to the word of God? The second item is the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit as a teacher. It shall be the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. Nevertheless, the Spirit does not speak of its own or of his own. Whatever the Holy Spirit says is of God. God has given us the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is God transfused into you. Now listen. The Bible says, for God dwelt in an unapproachable light. Which means that no man by himself can approach God. The way you think when you get to heaven, the day I see God, I'll tell him things. Listen, the day you see God, you will know the difference between your will and his power. It is here on earth too. Even if an angel appear before men, they tremble. And they bow, they say, oh, no, I am your servant, get up. an angel that God had given to men to serve men. When men see, you know, you're in a house, and then your master says, your father calls you that, I've sent you a house, I've come to your house to stay with you, to help you. The house of enters, I say, madam, please, I greet you. He said, madam, please, I greet you. Much more God. Listen, without what Christ accomplished and the person of the Holy Spirit, there is no way God can dwell in you. The earth is his footstool. Don't think of a giant. He's not a giant. But the earth is his footstool. I said, without what Christ accomplished, his saving grace, and the person of the Holy Spirit, there is no way God can dwell in you. What Christ did and the Holy Spirit was able to transfuse God into you. So God now indwell us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And let me help you more. How many of you can take watermelon? You go to watermelon, you buy a shop, you go to the shop, you get watermelon. When you get watermelon, you get home, you hold a watermelon like this, and you put it in your mouth. Even coconut. How if you can swallow mango raw? You just pick mango and you swallow. If you can do that, they just carry pineapple, watermelon, and then throw them into your mouth like granite. But how do you partake of a pineapple or watermelon? Watermelon, you slice. Is that not it? Yeah. So slicing it is taking it through a process so that you can eat and assimilate it into your system. True or false? That is the work. So God wanted to dwell in you. But God knows that he cannot just enter you. So to enter you, he must be transfused through Christ's finished work and the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in you without the blood of Jesus doing its work within you. So through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit, now God dwells in us. So God can speak to you through your heart. God can relate with you personally. You can commune with God in a deeper way. Why? There is a transfusion of God into you. Say, God is in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. See? So, Jesus came to make God edible. Because until he came, it was not possible for you to eat God. It's not possible for God to indwell you. But through the work of the Holy Spirit, now God lives in us. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, now God has taken seat in our hearts. Now God is not just with us. God is also in us. Oh, hallelujah. Because he's in you, you don't have to wait for a voice behind you. You can hear a voice within you. Woo! Glory to God. There was no time, unlike Abraham. There was a period Abraham did not hear God speak to him because all he had was God with him, but not us. For us, God is not just with us. God is inside us. We can hear him in our sleep. We can hear him whilst awake. We can hear him everywhere we go. He is with us. 24/7. Learn to set your focus on God. You will hear him every time. You hear him every time. Now, through the Mahira, I'm showing you certain projectiles, certain things that adversary uses to distract your spirit and your mind from hearing God. All right? One of them yesterday I shared disappointment. You see? Today I shared discouragement. He used that. Discouragement is a second level of disappointment. The moment you are disappointed, the next step you'll be discouraged. The third step tomorrow. Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I have God in my heart. I don't lack direction. I don't lack an opportunity to hear God. I hear God every time through the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus said to the disciples? He said, do not be afraid when you stand before the Sanhedrin. Don't be afraid. The Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. The same way I'm telling you, when you wake up for each day, don't be afraid. The Holy Ghost will speak to you to show you the way to go, the steps to take. To be a believer and to be confused is not to take advantage of the resources available to you. Confusion is not of God. Friends, I wake up knowing what to do. Don't ever have a moment in your life where you say, I don't know what to do, my life. Come on! He will show you the way to go. Kaba sata kaba. I said, he will show you the way to go. He will direct you. He will order your steps. Why do we pray and fast? We fast so that we can set an atmosphere around us. We pray so that we can continue consistently in communion with God. As you commune with God, you master his voice. The best way to know the voice of God is to remain intimate with him. Your intimacy with God gives you opportunity to develop mastery in hearing his voice. Right now, as we are standing here, if your mom comes to stand outside and shout your name, wouldn't you know it's your mom? How do you know? You grew up with her. The chow at the pa, at the adaw, at crow crow, at the fedefe, only now with the same voice. I know the voice of God. Because he's my father. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know, in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, the word he used also means, it doesn't only mean a shepherd. It's also a word for friend. The Lord is both your shepherd and your friend. So when he said, my sheep hear my voice, he also sees you as a friend. You know, sometimes you don't have to be cocotee. Just be a sheep. Hey. I said, just be a sheep. You will know the way to go. There are sometimes you are so full of yourself. The logic is too much. There is a path where the paws of the lion have not threaded. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is a path where the wisest man had not perceived. But God knows. He said, for the Spirit searches all things. Yay! The deep things of God. He said, for you have not received the spirit of this world, but you have received the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord, he said, a man cannot know that which is in the mind of a person, save the spirit of the man. He said, for us, we have not received the spirit of this world, but we have received the spirit of the Lord. Therefore, by the Holy Spirit, we can tell what is on the mind of God. He said, who can know the mind of God that he may instruct him? He said, for us, we have the mind of Christ. I cannot be confused in my life. I cannot be confused in my life. Even if by mistake I make the wrong choice, by the wisdom of God, I know how to come out of that choice. Kaba shakaba. I will know how to come out. Why? The wisdom of God is present in me. I have the wisdom of God in me. I have the wisdom of God in me. Sometimes it may look like the voice are so much, you don't know which way to take. Shut every voice out. Take the word of God. Keep meditating. That is why when we go for, no, don't go start with that long ago. He said, in this voice, there are many voices. You know, this song I learned so much at PBAG, younger, I was part of a club in GHS. He said, looking around me, the world is running so fast, and I can't keep pace. Voices are calling. Come, let's blue time. Do what is right. All right? So there are voices calling. Many voices are calling for your attention. Many voices are calling. One of the things you can do, shut down every voice. Shut yourself away from every voice. So when I was going for my first retreat, I've not gone for a retreat before. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to go about certain things. The Lord just said, carry books. Carry messages. So I carried books, carried messages. I shut down my phone. So I was playing messages, reading the word of God, praying messages and reading some God-centered materials. And God was now talking to me. My mind was now directed, because there was a point in my life I felt like Muslims and Christians should be the one. You know, there was a point I didn't even know where I belong. Whether I'm an atheist, and I was going to church all right, but nobody knew what was going on in my head. Whether an atheist, whether a Jehovah's Witness, whether a Latter-day Saint, whether a believer in Christ, or none of those things. Like, there was so much. So much. There was this new people, the town council, like, Zatali, yes. There's a point I felt the Zatali people were the best people. Why? Because when it's Christmas, they celebrate. When it's Islam, Ramadan, you find them there. Zatali, I feel like these people, they are the people depicting Jesus. Because Jesus is peaceful. And these people, they talk about peace. Zatali. I needed to shut down every voice. Every voice. Sometimes you shut every voice. You wake up, you're listening to messages. You're listening to messages. You're reading the word of God. You're programming your mind, shaping your thoughts. Then you gain mastery of the voice of the Lord. When that happens, you realize that your eyes will open. The moment your mind is shaped to align with the Spirit, your eyes will open. There are deep things the Spirit of God knows. Trust Him. Trust Him. He will order. He will order your steps. He will order your steps. Sometimes I'll be there. I'll be having questions in mind. The Holy Ghost will be giving me answers. Then sometimes the answers, I need interpretation to those answers. I don't know who to call. Then He will prompt me. Go to this platform. Go and look for this book. There are books I found. Nobody recommended. About 90% of books that I have now, nobody recommended to me. I walked into those books. It's like automatic. I just walk on those paths. Maybe I've gone, I'm looking for a particular book. Then I'll end up finding a different book. You see, He knows how to lead you. I can't have a bad day. Say it better. I can't have a bad day. My Lord, my God, is my instructor. The Holy Ghost teaches me. The last item, then I close you. Oh, I will not miss my way. Jeremiah. Are you being blessed? I don't miss my way. Ibaka satay. Rondo gobose. Shinda kataba. Jeremiah chapter 3. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving. Thank you, my Lord. Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, say the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind. neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil hearts. Why? He will give them pastors after his heart. See? There's another scripture. There was a time when God wanted to punish the people. They exposed themselves to false shepherds. Listen, understanding, identifying, understanding, perceiving, and identifying, and expressing your purpose has a lot to do with who is teaching you. It has a lot to do with it. Let me show you a scripture. Hosea chapter 12. And by verse 13, sorry. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. Why did Israel come out of Egypt? God brought Israel out of Egypt for one purpose: to serve him. What was the service? The service wasn't just about offering sacrifices. It was about offering sacrifices which would lead and contribute to the ultimate manifestation of God's plan, which is Christ. There is a lot of role the Jews played, the Israelites played, in the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes. And that was the main reason God brought them out of Egypt. Whenever God wants to do something with you, have him speaking to you, directing through the Holy Spirit, he sends you a man. There are people, all that God raises them to be is to become the interpreters of his intentions in the lives of people. So God trains them, not for themselves. See? Is it like, unlike how most men of God live today as though they are the focus of the ministry? No, they are part of the materials for the ministry to the people. You see, so when the Christ come off committee, for instance, yes, I'm a leader, but I'm part. If you are looking for, you are listing the materials that will be used for the ministry. If a drum is a vessel, then I'm part of the vessels. We are used, like God has to use me. Do you get it? So the goal of shepherding is not to lord over God's people, but to lead God's people into what God wants them to become. So I wrote that. I said leadership is, that is a key factor about leadership. Leadership is leading God's people onto God's agenda. What What was the usefulness of Moses? Tell me. If not for delivering Israel and leading Israel to Egypt. Sorry, to the promised land. Now, when it happened that he was not even going to be the one directly leading them into the land, he still had to raise Joshua. So the Lord said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. So in the same capacity, it was that same capacity that he was with Joshua. So he said, concern the sons of Issachar. He said, for they have understanding of the times and the seasons, that they would tell the sons of Israel what to do per time. And that is why it's important for you not to, number one, despise a man of God at any given time. That's why he said in Hebrews 13 that obey them that as rule over you or set as set over you in the church. Then it was clear. Paul said, it is the author of Hebrews said, it will not be to your disadvantage if you don't. I mean, it will not be to your advantage if you don't. So it shall not be profitable to you. As part of God directing you, when God wants to lead you to a place, he will lead you to a man as well. See, as part of God leading you, he will always lead you to a man to help you. And that is why some of you in church must take advantage of every opportunity God is bringing your way within the ministry. You see, this is the goal of designing programs. When I talk about programs, not just conferences, but programs include ministry setups, ministry groups. See, all those things contribute to the shaping of your life and the creating of an environment for you to thrive, for you to identify purpose, identify the potentials within. There are some of you, there are certain potentials you don't know you have until you take certain responsibilities serious. But where does responsibility come from? If you don't have a visionary leader or a pastor who can capture certain ideas and see the possibility of its implementation, you will not find the opportunity to express yourself within certain environment. And that is why one of the people, as part of the people you pray for, you must pray for your pastor. And some of you within Christ's Commonwealth community must thank God for Apostle Benny. Yes. You know why? Because the more you do that and he sustain, the more you find the privilege to express your calling and what God has put inside you. It's very important. Let me just share. I don't know how it's connected to this, but once I was standing, it just came to my spirit. So let me just talk about it. I was in conversation with one of the brethren that have been within our ministry setup before. And I just told him directly. I said, do you know that you're enjoying certain opportunities because I responded to the call of God? They started laughing on the phone. I said, yes. You see, it's very serious. How people, and if you're here, maybe it's the first time, maybe you belong to another ministry, but you find yourself here, appreciate your pastor. Don't ever dishonor your pastor in any way. It's very important. Because it's clearly part of you fulfilling your purpose. Because whatever God is going to do for you, with you, within the ministry, will first begin from the set man of the ministry. You see, there are many people that have walked away from purpose by not taking heed to a little instruction that was given to them. So I was telling that fellow, I said, you should thank God. Because the point was that all of you seated here might have not known each other. Would you have known this brother if not for Christ's common community? That's the cost of obedience. You see it? That's the cost of obedience. Like someone took a loan from a brother in the church. And I called the two of them, the one that gave the loan and the one that took the loan. And I blasted them, I disciplined them. That why did you go and take loan from this one without telling me? And why did you give loan to this one without telling me? Then they were offended. And the offense was that it is not my money. See, it is my money. And I've decided to give to this one. Is it your concern? And they also felt like, it's me, I wanted it. And I went from this one. And I got to ask, is it a concern? What the person failed to realize is that when I was laboring on my knees, all right, for the vision and to create a community, none of them knew each other. So whichever way they came to meet is dependent on what I have done. I don't know if you understand. Like some people will find partners in a church. They will get married. Then they will disrespect the man of God. Then they will leave the ministry. If not for the pastor, would you have met your wife in the church? You see, Tingo. Before we get to that level, I want you to start thinking. Because I know a particular couple in where I grew up, and the truth is that they are having serious issues now. Because the lady was the PA to the senior pastor. All right? And then we had a drama director who was, having national contracts and got married to the lady. And the pastor felt like, no, this relationship, there's something wrong somewhere. Then they got angry. But it's my heart. And then they insulted the pastor. They just left the church, you know. And recently, I met the lady's mother, and the mother was saying interesting things. And I was like, hey, let's see where you. Now, those two people that I was talking about, the one had loan, and one gave loan, that they felt, I'm doing too much. No, they had an issue from the loan. Now, it was left with communication. You see? Because I said, bye, Yawa. I said, not bye. You're not coming to communicate whether the thing has worked or has passed, because you felt you didn't have the right. Always have in mind, your pastor created the environment for you to meet your best friend. You cannot honor your best friend than your pastor. In church. Because as long as you came to meet that fellow in the church, you don't have details of that fellow's spiritual map better than the person's pastor. Do you know the scriptures in James? It talks about teachers having special judgment. Teachers, like those who make themselves teachers and counselors over others, he said they have special judgment. From that day, I became conscious of what I teach. Because everything anyone teach will be judged. If you come and ask me a matter for me to give you a counsel, I don't have an answer, I will not start talking. I'll say, let's talk tomorrow. We meet tomorrow, say, let's talk next week. When the answer comes, me, I'll call you. I'll call you, let's talk. Once I'm saying let's talk tomorrow, it means I'm searching in my spirit, looking for answers. That time that matters, I don't jump on to start talking. I'll wait. Because I'm not having the right answer. Some of the answers may be of the flesh, and I know this answer, if I give, this one is of the flesh. Because every counselor, every teacher
will be judged. You know, one time I instructed one fellow, and that fellow went to ask another member, Apostle, I told Apostle this, and Apostle gave the instruction. Do you think what Apostle, the instruction Apostle has given is right? You see, from that day, I stopped instructing the person. The person asked me questions, yet when the person asked questions, I was like, I'll say in my mind, go and ask. It's important to understand that as part of leading God's people, there is the burden to bring people to unless the person is not a true man of God. But every true, sincere man of God wants to bring God's people to where God wants them to be. That is their burden. He makes them teachers. What? You see, listen, the kind of mindset, that's why also the mindset of a pastor is important. Because if your pastor's mindset is small, he cannot be able to help you to expand. He can't be able to help you to grow spiritually, mentally, and purposefully. You will be hovering and hovering. It's very important. All those that say, oh, me, I will know God for myself. It's a lie. God, the Spirit of God has to speak to Philip to join the Ethiopian eunuch to explain the scriptures to him. He was reading Isaiah 53. He understand it. And Philip asked him, understand what thou readest? He said, how can I understand unless someone explains to me? They had to take his time, explain and interpret the scriptures to him. Do you see it? Don't despise the shepherds, the teachers whom God sets over you. Don't dishonor. Some of you, those that God will set over you from the beginning, as you come to the church and you are growing, you realize that they will put a leader over you. Because the pastor believes that the leader that has been put over you will help you. You see, then you become committed to following the instructions little by little. That it means you are building muscles and capacity to be instructed at the top level. Then you are being raised. Sometimes someone will be given opportunities to serve in certain platforms. You have to take advantage of it. It's part of God leading you into purpose. Yeah. It's part. Some of you, apart from God leading you to purpose, it's part of God opening you up to your stream or channel of income. But you don't know. I know a brother who served in church and was not a graphic designer. Now he owns one of the big advertising companies in Ghana. But in the church where I was, he was there, he was serving in that church. It was not a graphic designer or anything. No. It was, I remember, Reverend Josephine, Bishop Isaiah's wife, who was giving him assignment. And gradually, he made it his aim to master the skill. Mastered it. And now, that's his job. Do you see it? A lot of people have found jobs, found potentials, because they were serving in church. Yeah. Most of the best instrumentalists in the world that are making money, they had opportunity to serve in church, and they build their skill. Those singing, serve in church, and they build their skill. Now, as we realize that technology has come and there's so much modernization and more means to do ministry and avenues to serve in the Lord, you realize that people, there are more different ministerial platforms that are being created for people to serve. Different platforms within our ministry. Some people are going to get opportunity to serve in the IT platform. And maybe some of you are going to get opportunity to serve as maybe marketers or something like that, to market the product or to become communicators. And you realize through that means you are learning a skill.
Learning a skill. At the point I was going for a particular interview, all right, for a particular position, and my CV, all I had in my CV were leadership opportunities I've served in church, and they were rich, and they were excited that, so you've done this, you've been able to do this, you've been able to do this, you've been able to do that. Wow, congratulations, congratulations. You see. Yes. And as I was in secondary school, I went to serve in a particular board. And I had an opportunity to serve in that, on that board. Not in school. In an organization that I was part of. You see? See, if you need plenty, every detail was recorded in it. Because I never saw my work in church as mere kingdom service. I saw it as a means to add value to humanity. If you start seeing your service that way, you will start identifying solutions. See, you come up with solutions that would add value to lives. And anyone who knows how to add value to lives is valuable. So serve, like when responsibilities are given to you, don't get tired. See, some of you have opportunity to serve on a committee, you don't know that you are learning event planning. Serve. So that's how you identify opportunities to become relevant in the society. And those opportunities and that environment is created by a man God will send to you. So like just one instruction through teaching, an idea will drop in your heart. If your heart is genuinely connected to the heart of the man of God, when he's ministering to you, you will capture ideas that will shape your life. Glory to God. So learn to have honor. Don't joke with honor. What do you say in your heart? What do you say in private? What do you speak in front? What do you say in front of your leader? See, it's costly. There are people that their lives, they don't know, their lives are very stagnant because they failed to honor their man of God. It's not a curse. No. The issue is this. If you are not honoring, it's in two folds. If you are not honoring, it means you fail to hear things he will say. So if you fail to hear the things he will say, you realize that you will not get to do it. But if you are honoring, whatever he says, you esteem it, you act on it, and it will produce results for you. You see, it will inspire you to get the job done, to achieve a particular result. That's the importance of honor. All right? Like, for example, I've given this brother an instruction. Are you for? I've given some instruction, and the instruction I've given, I know. I give how many days? 356 days. Yes. I've given an instruction for 356 days. Now, I believe beyond doubt, if he follows that instruction for 356 days, the results will be amazing. Do you see it? To be amazing. Little instruction. See, we are going somewhere to happen. So follow those instructions. So I say it's in twofold. So one side, when you fail to honor, it becomes difficult for you to heed to the little things that will be said. You see? So when you honor instructions by men that God has set over you, God knows why he put certain men over you. Because personally, I know that with the way I am, God has to put someone like Bishop Isaiah over me. Someone who is not so much extravagant. You see? Because I'm personally, I have tendency of unimaginable extravagance. You see? I have that tendency, like it's there. But God has to put someone who can manage it. Someone who can manage it. Who can help me Shall not to become somebody else. Else I'll become many people. I don't know if you understand. Yes, also, like, I know why God puts me under you, like, because I'll become many people. Because I'm expressive. Maybe you don't know how expressive I am. You don't know how extravagant I would love to be. You see? But someone who can manage that. Manage that. So you have to honor. That's one aspect. Another aspect of the honor is that when you are not honoring and you dishonor, what happens is that sometimes it becomes difficult for you to share in the grace of your leader. Becomes difficult. I don't know if any of you have been to the whole church before, but when you get to the whole church, you see clearly a replica of Apostle Benny. Like without anybody telling you that this is Christ's commonwealth. You see, when you meet all the brethren in church, you see, that is apostleship. That someone submits to apostle. It becomes easy to, within a possible, shortly possible time, produce the same kind of people. If you guys begin to, you can honor, you can produce those kind of people in your T360. You replicate. Then it becomes easy for the man of God to implement or execute burdens of the Spirit concerning you as an individual. Honor provokes burdens of the anointing. See, honor places demand on the anointing. Honor places demand on the anointing. I'm ending with that one. Later I'll talk. So it doesn't matter what, at any given time, protect relationship with those God has set over you. Protect, value that relationship, treasure it, and make the most of that relationship. Sometimes when you are looking at your life and you are feeling like there is so much delay, sometimes it's not you. It's not that you are not praying. Or it's sometimes you just have to honor. Like, something little you should do in your own heart. Because if you don't honor a man, if he lays down on you and pray any prayer on you, it will not work. But if a man honors, and if he says, may the Lord bless you, as a greeting, it doesn't become a greeting. And there are people, God will come to them and say, this person must become this. Be on this person. Be at work. Yeah. There are people here that sometimes I'll be there, they go, don't go to prompt him. Then I'll invade their life and ask them certain questions. Because at that time, there's a demand on the anointing. Rise to feet and speak in tongues. It's been a great time of knowledge, of spiritual understanding. Marandos Kovea Takaba. Oh, make sure you're praying. Lift your hands. If you can't speak in tongues, you can pray to the Lord. Make sure your hands are lifted. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for directing our steps, opening our hearts and our minds. Legons of Sarabashik Pratas Kobelaya. Kadada barus kovelele mash debre de bos ratus suta kalabash baribus kalandi libush kalabaratas kabai in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Light of Life with Apostle Benny. To feast on many other spirit-work inspiring messages, visit our website at christcommonwealth.org/commonwealthlife. Let's get interactive. Follow us on Facebook at Christ Commonwealth Community, the same on Instagram. You can follow the man of God also on Facebook at Benjamin Nana Elizansa and Apostle Benny. The same is on Instagram as Apostle Benny. You remain a blessing. Shalom Aleichem.